You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Screens of the Stone Age, the podcast where scientists watch movies about cavemen, prehistory, and ancient humans, and then try to separate the archaeology from the absolute nonsense.
I'm Dr. Kimberly Plomp, archaeologist and professional buzzkill for inaccurate prehistoric cinema.
I'm Dr. Ross Barnett, paleontologist and defender of dinosaurs that definitely did not live with cavemen.
And I'm Dr. Joshua Lindell, anthropologist and your guide to everything Hollywood gets wrong about early humans.
Normally on this show, we review movies about the deep past, Stone Age epics, cavemen comedies, Ice Age adventures.
But today, we're doing something a little different.
Because instead of a movie about the Stone Age, we are talking about something happening in media right now.
Specifically, AI slop.
If you've been online lately, you've probably seen it. Uncanny images, weird videos, strange Facebook posts, endless AI-generated content that seems designed mainly to confuse and farm engagement.
And weirdly enough, a lot of it involves prehistory.
Cavemen riding dinosaurs.
Hyper-realistic Neanderthals that look like Instagram influencers.
Stone Age villages that somehow have steel tools, medieval castles, and three different species of hominin hanging out together.
So today, we're stepping back from reviewing a single film.
And instead, looking at the strange new ecosystem of AI-generated prehistoric media.
Why is so much of this stuff being made? Who's making it? And what does it mean when our digital cave wall gets flooded with machine-generated visions of the distant past?
So grab your hand axe.
Stoke the campfire.
And try not to feed the algorithm.
This is Screens of the Stone Age.
All right, our regular listeners are probably a little confused right now, unless they read the title. New listeners will be a little confused in a minute because that is not our regular intro. We are, in fact, reviewing AI slop on today's episode. As that ChatGPT generated intro reveals, we do normally review movies about cavemen and prehistory, but today we're doing something a little different because we are reviewing images and videos generated by various generative AI tools. I think it's no secret to regular listeners that we're not really big fans of AI. I asked ChatGPT to generate that intro, which we just read, and I'm heartened to know that it is not familiar with our show.
Like most of the planet.
So our content has not been used to train ChatGPT, which I'm okay with. I don't think that was a bad intro, though. It seems to understand the problem with AI-generated images and videos. Everything it said there is stuff we're going to see in the images and videos we're going to talk about. Yeah. So that's kind of neat.
I liked it. I liked that. So grab your hand axe.
The reason why I had the idea for this episode is because I think, you know, anybody who's ever made PowerPoint slides for lectures knows you search Google for images and you try and find stuff. And, you know, I'm constantly updating my slides and more I'm getting these really weird looking Neanderthals from AI. And I realized AI does not know what Neanderthals look like. There is some very specific traits that Neanderthals have that are always missing. And there's some very specific traits Neanderthals don't have that are always present. And so I put together a list for you here, including a few AI-generated images and a few categories of AI-generated videos, and we've divided these into a few different common themes. And so we're going to take a look at these categories here. Before we get into that, first of all, Yes, I'm aware of the environmental harms of AI. So I did generate that intro music and I generated this ChatGPT script. And I tried to not use too many prompts because I'm mindful of that. But at the same time, I think these AI tools are here to stay. And so we have to know how they work. I don't think that it's a problem to use AI occasionally for a few different things, just like, you know, I ride a bicycle instead of driving a car and I don't eat meat because those have environmental impacts. But, you know, everything in moderation. And I think that's, you know, going to work out. The other thing is, full disclosure, I do use an AI tool in the production of this podcast. Every single episode, I don't use a generative AI tool. So we don't have any AI generated content, but regular listeners will recall that Kim lives, I believe, in a petting zoo in the middle of a motocross track. Is that right?
Yeah, that sums it up pretty well.
And I do not have the skill to edit out every motorcycle engine and every rattling dog collar or bark, but there is, Adobe has an AI tool which cleans up audio, which I do use only on Kim's track, because the other side of this is we don't make any money on this. We don't have any budget, and it's a free tool and it saves me hours and hours of work. And it ends up with a better quality product. So I think we're all very skeptical of AI, but I don't want us to come across like AI is terrible and we're never going to touch it, because I do regularly use some AI tools like that, again, in moderation, because I'm pretty mindful of the environmental impact. So maybe we'll start going through this list. We'll see how we feel about AI by the end of this. The first thing we have to look at is a few AI generated images. The other thing is I didn't generate any of the content we're reviewing. I found this all through Google searches.
Okay, that's good.
The videos are going to be, we watch them all on YouTube links, but I think a lot of them are also hosted on TikTok. So we're only reviewing images that I found online. There's thousands and thousands of these. So this is a super narrow sample of what we could have reviewed. So I guess if people are interested in what we're talking about here, if you want us to do a second episode on AI slop in the future, feel free to send us your suggestions. But let's start off by looking at, I think I've got about six different AI generated images of Neanderthals specifically. We've got four men and two women, and that is an overrepresentation of women in terms of what I find when I search for Neanderthal AI generated on YouTube, on Google. But what do we think about these images? We've got a few common themes. What are our opinions of these images?
Well, you know, I watched the Spider-Man films recently with my kids. The original Spider-Man, like Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst Spider-Man. And there's a scene in that where Peter Parker goes to the offices of the Daily Bugle to show J. Jonah Jameson his photographs, his portfolio. And J. Jonah Jameson just goes through them and goes, "Crap! Crap, crap, rubbish, crap." And that is what my notes look like for this series of images. So yeah, that's what it reminds me of. But to starting with the first one, the most obvious, and I hope you both picked this up as well, is that this Neanderthal has six fingers on each hand, which is a classic AI blunder, which has been noted that it's very much like we're regressing to a past where you have to be careful that what you're dealing with is not a creature of the Fae trying to trick you. You have to count their teeth and their fingers and make sure they don't have cloven hooves when you go up to dance with them, in case they drag you off to the underworld. So yeah, six fingers. Not great.
The first one here is also clearly on steroids. He has an unnatural level of muscle mass here, even for a Neanderthal.
It would probably... Like Neanderthals, they were more robust than Homo sapiens, but they would still have to be somewhat like lean and agile, fatty. Right?
Yeah,
and fatty for the warmth. Like this guy, he wouldn't last in the warmth, and he wouldn't be able to keep up running or anything.
Nope.
Yeah.
And can you imagine the chafing as well? I mean,
oh yeah. The spear is not correct either.
Yeah. Well, the spear looks like it's nonsense. Metal almost.
Yeah.
It's not
But
that.
Neanderthals only had sticks, right? They didn't have
They did have glue for hafting, as we're going to see in our last example here. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they mounted points to spears. We do have evidence of, like, before Neanderthals, of just fire hardened wooden spears.
Yeah, that's what I learned that they use, but there could be new evidence in the last 20 years.
The thing about these Neanderthals for me is, in the faces, they get the faces so exactly wrong for a Neanderthal, because what they have is they have these very strong, high cheekbones.
Yeah.
And this sort of slightly chimpanzee-ish snout, kind of like Homer Simpson. You know how his mouth is sort of like this circle that sort of hangs off his face?
But in the third picture, it's exactly a chimpanzee mouth almost. Like with the lines and everything. It's like they just took,
I coined a term to describe these images. I'm calling them Chad pansies because they are the most manly, muscular, like manly jawed faces with these strong cheekbones, but also halfway between a human and a chimpanzee.
So they
have these strong cheekbones, this prominent what we call alveolar prognathism, where they've got this snout that like projects a little bit, and then they've got this sharp groove or valley in between the cheekbones and the snout, which we call a canine fossa, this depression underneath the cheekbones. And these are all exactly the opposite of what Neanderthals look like. They don't have these strong high cheekbones. They don't have this canine fossa. And what they have are these inflated cheekbones. So their faces look very round and soft. They don't have these strong features. And instead of the lower face projecting, the alveolar prognathism, they have this midfacial prognathism, which manifests in the nasal area projecting forward, and they have big noses in association with that. And so I look at these images here, and they look like a stereotypical caveman, but that looks absolutely nothing. It looks almost opposite to what a Neanderthal should look like. And that's that's what generated this topic for me, is I keep looking for good images of Neanderthals for my slides, and all I get is this AI bullshit where they look completely the opposite of a Neanderthal, even though they're coded as Neanderthals.
It seems like the only things they kind of actually, they sort of take like a human face and then increase the brow ridges, and then maybe slightly widen the nose, and that's about it. And then they just chadify it, like you say, like rippling muscles, bulging veins, a 12-pack, muscles on muscles. But yeah, it's not Neanderthal, is it?
I don't even understand. In the first one, it's like he has muscles on his ribs. Or are those his ribs that we see?
Because he breathes so hard.
It's weird.
We've talked about this sort of concept about the way Neanderthals are understood by the public as, like, you know, there's this primitive past where humans were more animalistic and men were men who hunted and women were gatherers who needed protection. And I think that's mainly what we're seeing here, right? It's, you know, the Chad is the primitive man. And so primitive people must have all been Chads, right?
And I guess it's also, you know, what it's trained on is the internet, and the internet is full of idiots that that think like this.
Did you guys read any of the papers that I linked this time?
I didn't, sorry.
That's fine, because normally we don't actually share papers. We just pull up papers that we know about. But there's one paper which tested why AI gets Neanderthals badly as sort of a test case for how AI gets things badly in general. There's a paper called Artificial Intelligence and Interpretation of the Past by Matthew Magnani and John Clindaniel from December 2025. This is a really recent paper. And so they wanted to see how ChatGPT, or not ChatGPT, well, they did ChatGPT as well, because they also tested text generation. And so I don't actually understand their methodology. It was a little confusing to me, but they were basically generated text and images of Neanderthals specifically because Neanderthals are a case where the public perception is very different from the scientific consensus, and it has changed a lot over time. And so I'm not exactly sure how they compared the accuracy of AI generated images of Neanderthals, but they have some methodology that I don't fully understand. But they basically found that because AI is trained on the whole of, you know, human information that exists digitally, so much of that information comes from older versions of archaeology where we had different conceptions of Neanderthals. And this is fundamentally what the problem is, right? It's trained on everything, and most of everything is outdated information. And so it doesn't necessarily know how to tell the difference between updated information and outdated information. And we end up with this kind of nonsense where, you know, 100 years ago, even among scientists, we thought Neanderthals were sort of half ape, half human. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's trained on. That's why it shows us Neanderthals as half ape, half human, because that's what it's trained on.
Instead of like Giga Chad, it's Giggle Chad. So garbage in, garbage out. That's that's what we're looking at here.
That's great. Now, of course, we also have Neanderthal women in here, and these Neanderthal women are even worse than the men because they are even more obviously modern human. One of the things we don't get in the men is whether or not they have prominent chins, because they're universally bearded when we have Neanderthals generated. And a chin is a very modern human trait. Neanderthals didn't have a pointy chin, but the women here, we've got two possible images. They have very prominent chins. They have, again, very strong cheekbones. And we have two possibilities when AI is generating women. They're always very beautiful women with strong features, but they either have wrinkly skin or they have dirty skin. And that is basically what makes them a Neanderthal, according to AI.
The second female is just Homo sapiens.
Yeah, totally.
Like, she could be alive today.
She looks like
she's wearing a halter top with metal clasps and metal jewelry, fine woven fabrics. Like, there's nothing Neanderthal. She's got earrings. She's got metal, these ornate metal earrings, right?
She's got a chin. No, I mean, like, she's got no brow ridge. She just looks like a modern actress.
Yeah. Like, I bet you could find this top at Zara. She's got a bit of paint on her cheek. That's it.
Well, is it paint or is it blood? Is she a Neanderthal because she has blood on her cheek? And is that what makes her a Neanderthal in this image?
I don't know.
All right. Well, let's keep it rolling here. Let's move on to the first series of videos we have. I think we'll just sort of sum these up all together. Have you guys seen these POV videos? They're all over TikTok.
No, this was new.
Oh, I've never seen this. The ones that you've sent me.
This is a common format, and so it's not only for Neanderthals or cave people, but it's a format where you use these AI-generated images. It shows you a day in the life of somebody. The first ones I saw were in my archaeology class for, like, a day in the life of a person in ancient Pompeii. And so it always shows you from the person's perspective. They wake up and you can see their feet because they're lying down. They get up, they go through their regular things throughout the day, and then they go to sleep, and it shows you a day in the life. And they're always bland and stupid, which is
so
what we see here.
Boring.
There's no meaningful content. Like I said, I've seen these for other archaeology topics like Pompeii. A day in the life of someone in Pompeii is they wake up and things look vaguely Roman, and they buy some bread and they walk in the streets, and then the streets fill with lava and everybody drowns in lava, which is not what happened in Pompeii.
No.
But in these ones, this is what we have. We have a Neanderthal wakes up in a cave. You see their feet. They start a fire. They hunt a mammoth. They gather berries. For some reason, gathering is always berries, it seems. Is that the only thing people think people gathered?
I think so.
They make stone tools. Men run around and hunt. It's very, very dominated by men. They eat meat, which they cook over a fire, and then they go back to sleep. And this is what most of them look like. There is one of them that has dinosaurs, but for the most part, they don't. Most of them have mammoths and saber-toothed cats and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We have all different kinds of titles here, usually specifying a date. We have 40,000 BC, 100,000 BCE. One of them just says the Stone Age. One of them is 20,000 years ago. And one of them is very specifically 51,739 BC, which is funny. Do you have any more thoughts about these or any specific things that stood out to you?
Well, I mean, this dumbest one was the dinosaur one.
Yeah.
Especially when the hand was holding a baby dinosaur and the mother dinosaur was looking on like, that's my baby.
That's what cave people do. Just pick up baby dinosaurs and look at them.
And the moms are always so happy about it.
Mm. I thought that they were kind of, because they're, I guess, instead of just generating one image, they're having to generate like thousands to produce the animation. They tended to be a bit shitter even than the single images. So not for all of them, but for some of them, there were certainly too many fingers on individuals at various points. The lithics that they were using were incredibly crap. So like they were just like, you know, the second one, what the hell is that? It looks like a hammer, but a hammer with that has been like napped so that it fits around a stick. I mean, it's just crazy. The mammoths were pretty crap as well that they generated. They looked possibly more like mastodons than mammoths.
And they're always, the point of view is always that you're running backwards away from the mammoth who's charging at you, and somehow you're
keeping
ahead.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's never the point of view that you're actually squashed underneath a mammoth's foot.
Yeah.
We have this, that common problem of AI when you're generating multiple clips is the consistency between shots. So sometimes the cave people are these like basically chimpanzees, and sometimes they are just like Fabio in a fur skirt and like within the same video, right? Yeah. There's no consistency in what the people look like. In the first one, we have a really weird ending where the caveman is sitting by the fire and he looks at a cave woman who's got a little bit of a beard, but is otherwise one of these very strong featured, beautiful women. And that the video just has his hand poke her in the lip. And she really likes that.
So creepy. I don't know if my boyfriend did that, like just went and like slowly poked me in the lip and kind of like rubbed his finger along her lip. It was so weird.
It's like something from Dumb and Dumber.
Very low quality content. What we can see here is I believe the way these are working is a creator, so to speak, is generating each clip with a separate prompt and editing them together. This is the problem. I don't really know how these AI creators work, but that's what I think is happening, right? They're generating each separate 10-second or less clip with a separate prompt, and then they cut them together, right? And then sometimes they add text over top and sometimes they don't.
I think we need to have a better word for them than creators, because they're not creating anything.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
AI prompters, I think that's prompters, what you call them.
Yeah. AI artists is what they want to be called.
Yeah, but
like
that's
when I worked
never
at Subway
happen.
And I was a sandwich artist.
But at least you produced like a new, interesting and new and useful product at Subway.
I was a sandwich artist too in undergrad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I still really like Subway. People say they got sick of that
too.
Subway smell, but I like
it. No, I love it. And I miss being able to make my own. Nobody does it right.
All right, so one of the things that we can sort of get at here is there is the AI-generated slop, but we also have a quote-unquote creator or a prompter who is making decisions. And so it's not entirely that AI doesn't know what Neanderthals look like, but it is people creating, and the reason it's so bland is because people don't know anything about cave people, and so they're generating bland stuff because they don't know what it should be. And a problem with it is they don't care, right? They're just generating content. They don't care about getting anything accurate. They're just putting together stuff that they saw from the Flintstones, right? So maybe that's a good segue into our next segment here, which are these street interview style of videos. Have you seen these ones as well, where you have an AI generated interviewer interviewing somebody? And you guys are not on TikTok, I guess.
Clearly.
I'm not
I'm not.
I try to stay up to date, so I know what my students are watching. But these are basically a compilation. Each one is a compilation of, again, AI-generated clips where you have an interviewer asking a caveman something. And we've got a few videos on a few different topics. We have just AI caveman interviews. We have interviewing cavemen for dating advice. We have asking cavemen what life was like in the caveman times or in the Paleolithic era. Basic stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, oh, I don't think we need to summarize each individual video, but what themes can we pull out of these? What common weird things can we see in these ones?
The only thing, well, like not the only thing, but the first thing I would say is these are even more boring than the other ones. Like there's, I think they were supposed to be funny. They're supposed to be jokes, but not a single one.
Some of them are, and some of them aren't, I think, right? Some of them are clearly meant to be funny, and some of them seem more like solemn and serious, right?
It's just whatever spark humanity has is not there. And there is no point in these things existing. They're so boring. They don't say anything of consequence or interest. I can't believe anybody would make it and then watch it.
Yeah. What we see in these is a lot of inconsistency again, because the cave people sometimes look like a chimpanzee and sometimes look like a modern hipster just wearing a fur vest. But we also have inconsistency in the interviewers, because sometimes the interviewer is just a modern TV interviewer in a suit and holding a real microphone. And sometimes the interviewer is also a cave person holding a stick with a rock tied to the end of it, mimicking a microphone. And also any version of that in between, right? Sometimes you'll have a caveman interviewer holding a modern microphone. And so there's just a whole bunch of inconsistency like that.
Yeah.
One of the things about these is I'm not certain how much the dialogue is AI generated. And this is something I was trying to figure out, and it's hard to get information, because you can write your own script and the AI will generate a video reading the script, or you can ask the AI to generate the dialogue for you completely. And I feel like in the series from the YouTube channel called Streets of AI, where they're doing these AI street interviews, I have a feeling they might have actually written the scripts and got the AIs to generate videos around the scripts. And one of the reasons, well, part of the reason I see that is because in the description of the channel, they say all content is scripted, prompted, edited, and ultimately produced by me using various AI and video editing softwares. I am a prompt engineer and director. The AI is the quote unquote actors. And so because it's saying it is scripted and prompted, I have a feeling they might be actually writing the dialogue that the AI is then generating. And also the other thing about these ones in particular is that the caveman characters often say the word grunt.
Yes,
they will actually grunt and then say the word grunt. They'll be like, grunt. Grunt.
Yeah.
And I think that's because the guy is actually writing a script where he says grunt and then words, and the AI is just making the characters say the word grunt. And so this is one of the things I was a little confused about throughout these is, there's actually been studies that show people feel differently if they think something is AI generated, and people vastly prefer human generated content, because if humans are writing the scripts and the AI is just acting it out, I actually like that better, you know, although the content is super bland and not interesting either. It's like, so what are you doing today? And then the caveman's like, grunt. I'm going to go hunt a mammoth and then forage some berries. I'm like, why is this content? Who wants to see this? Yes. Right. Yeah. And so if the AI is generating that, sure, I get it. The AI doesn't know how to be interesting. But if a human is generating that, partly better because someone put thought into it, but also partly
not much thought.
Why did you, why'd you write that? What, like, it would almost be better if an AI wrote that. Except one of these videos I actually thought was genuinely funny in a few. There's the last one, I think, is obviously intended to be comedic. And there's a couple of jokes in there that I genuinely laughed at. There was one where there's a woman lying in a cave and another woman sitting beside her doing some sort of generic caveman task beside a fire. And she's got this big goofy grin on her face. And she says, referring to the person lying on the ground beside her, she broke her leg. I gave her moss and screaming. I genuinely think that's hilarious. You guys are not laughing. I think that one is actually hilarious. It's not meaningful content about cave people. It's just stereotypes, but it's like this idea I like this kind of absurdist thing where her medicine is moss and screaming. I really like that one. Okay, you guys didn't think that's funny. I genuinely thought other jokes in that one were funny as well. Like the kid, this is a pretty bland joke, but the kid is playing a bone flute and he says, "I invented music. Dad says I invented noise." I mean, it's not very funny, but that's a solid joke, yeah, right? Just yeah. Not a very funny one.
I think I mean, went follows the rules with that one.
Of humor.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just, yeah, what is the point of this? We're kind of burning down our planet for the sake of this horseshit. You know, what is the point? It's not interesting. It's not funny enough.
No.
It's not meaningful. It's not.
It's not, you know, unique or innovative.
Clever.
It's not.
No,
yeah.
It's just nothing. Like,
it's taking up space.
It's generated by people who don't care for people who don't give a shit. It's just, mm-hmm. You know, if you cared about this enough to make it, then make it. Don't just like outsource the thinking and the creativity to a machine. Mm-hmm. Like, find some people, get together, take acting lessons, you know, do something mm-hmm. like about it to make us care about it so that we mm-hmm. actually want you to succeed. Mm-hmm. No, I just really hate it. It's just, it's like outsourcing the only thing that humans are good at, which is, mm-hmm. you know, thinking and being creative. You know, mm-hmm. if we outsource that to the machine, which burns down the planet that we live on to do it, then what is the point of us?
There's that that cartoon going around that's just a picture of George Jetson vacuuming and Rosie the robot painting, right?
Yeah. I've seen that one.
That's where we're at.
Yeah, and that's it. We want AI to do our kind of washing and cleaning. We don't want it so that we have time to paint and create. We don't want it to do our kind of creating and mm-hmm. and art so that we can do more drudgery. Mm-hmm. Which is mm-hmm. I mean, that is the people that make it, that's what they want. They want us to use it for, in quotes, creative endeavors so that we don't spend time away from working in the Amazon warehouse mm-hmm. and taking toilet breaks. Like mm-hmm. it's just find it so insidious. And the propaganda around it is so kind of full on. Like, it's, you know, you can't open a newspaper or read the BBC without, you know, government saying, yeah, we're investing in AI so that we can improve. And then it sort of tails off and becomes very kind of nebulous and ill-defined as to what it's actually going to improve apart from shareholders' profits. Like, try just shoehorn it into fucking everything. Mm-hmm. Why?
Want in everything now. Like, every time you try and open something, it's always, either AI just starts right away, or it prompts you that whether you want AI and then keeps reminding you that you can use AI, and it's, you have to keep closing that prompt. Like, it's just taking up time also. And it's infiltrating everything. It's really annoying.
In these videos here, we're also getting a view of how AI can be problematic, because we got, most of these videos are the bland caveman stereotype, which is just boring and pointless. But in some of them, especially the third video, the one titled AI Interviews Cavemen from the Paleolithic Era, it's has a very broad range of cavemen. They're not just Chad Panzees or Gigo Chads in fur skirts, but we've got cave people that look like indigenous people in various different ways. So we've got one cave guy who is covered in feathers, and he's talking about, the interviewer says, "Why do you make the cave paintings?" And this is the one that's trying to be really solemn and serious, right? Mm. Some of them are just boring. Some of them are trying to be jokes. This one feels like it's trying to say something powerful and meaningful, even though it doesn't.
Yeah.
And the interviewer asks, "Why do you paint on the cave wall?" And the guy says something about it being sympathetic magic for a good hunt, but he looks like a Native American. And so we have this theme we've come upon before of conflating indigenous people before contact, before European contact and colonization, with Stone Age cave people. In that same video, we have African people on the savannah who just look like African people on the savannah who are living as hunter-gatherers. We've got people who look like Inuit. And the question for them is, why do you explore into new lands, clearly implying that they're in Beringia exploring into North America, right? And they look like Inuit. And so this, to me, feels really problematic because the AI is pulling out, and there have been studies on this too. It's that, you know, garbage in, garbage out, or whatever you put in is whatever you get out. And when, you know, so much content is from white people, from a white perspective, that's what the AI is pulling out, right? It's pulling out these racist stereotypes and conflating Indigenous people with Stone Age cave people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think there's also the danger that because so much, particularly on places like X and other social media sites as well, a lot of it is explicitly kind of rage baiting racism, misogyny, mm-hmm. the worst kind of aspects of humanity. And that's what these things are being trained on. So it's not a massive surprise that it becomes hugely problematic when that's what it's trained on.
Do you remember years ago, before the modern AI, I think it was Microsoft put out a new Twitter chatbot that was supposed to be really advanced, and they had to shut it down in less than 24 hours because it became a Nazi?
Uh-huh. Yeah, like immediately.
I'm not in any way surprised.
All right, let's talk about music. We've got four AI-generated songs in various styles, sung by cavemen. We've got cavemen asking AI to make a hit rock song about cavemen called Me Like Rock. We have a song called Beer Is Great, sung by a caveman who really likes beer. We have a pretty vulgar one called Me Go Bust, where a caveman is singing about having sex. And we have asking AI to make a hit caveman song about a squirrel.
Yep. So my notes for this are terrible, shite, terrible, terrible.
Why does it exist?
So terrible. And I thought the one comment I had was that it's interesting that the AI generates country music for all of this. What does that say?
Country music is the most popular genre in North America by a pretty wide margin. Actually, I have heard recently that an AI-generated country song was topping the country charts. Have you heard that?
No, but I'm not surprised.
Country music is pretty formulaic. If AI is going to succeed at any style of music, AI country music is going to be the first one.
Yeah. And not to disparage country fans, and for any country fans listening, disparage means to talk down to and insult. But yeah, it's not surprising that fans of country music would be using AI to prompt and make new songs.
Oh boy, my mic is really peaking on that laugh. I'll stand up for country music. I am a fan of country. Well, I'm kind of a fan of country music, but you know, modern rock country kind of is shit. You know, country music is really fun to play on an acoustic guitar.
I will defend to the death Dolly Parton for anything that she does, because she transcends country, and also Johnny Cash possibly as well. But
I'm a fan of country music, but I hate Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash, if you ever try to play one of his songs, there's no fucking structure to it. He was on drugs the whole fucking time. I hate Johnny Cash.
Okay. All right. But well, let's move on. But well, I was really shocked. I was really shocked by how many views these videos had. Like the first one, 197,000 views on that AI generated song. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
I think the most popular ones here are by a channel called Beats by AI, I think is the name of the channel. And this channel is on Spotify. On his YouTube, he's got, you know, Patreon and like Buy Me a Coffee and stuff. Like he's making music. He's making money AI generating music. And so like this is just the world we live in now. That's just the reality of it. And I was trying to figure out, like, is he writing the lyrics? Because that's another thing you can do, is you can write the lyrics and get AI to write a song around it. And from what I can tell, I was reading some like Reddit forums about AI prompting music, because a lot of people are getting into making their own, making in air quotes, their own music. And some people are talking about how you can make better lyrics if you write your own lyrics, because the AI is always generating super bland formulaic lyrics. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure that all these lyrics are AI generated. And so fully AI generated lyrics. And now I don't know why people are asking AI to write songs from the perspective of a caveman, because there's no real content to it. But the common theme here is just that caveman grammar, right? Mm-hmm. Just broken English sung from the perspective of a caveman. Some of them are sort of caveman themed, but that one called Beer is Great is just about drinking beer. Cavemen didn't have beer. Like, what's the point? Yeah. They mention a cave. They mention grunting. But apart from that, there's nothing caveman to it, except that he doesn't use proper grammar in the song, right?
Yeah. It was awful. And the going bust one was awful.
Yeah, that was so terrible.
The music, too, sounds like a cross between Nickelback and Imagine Dragons, the most formulaic music of two different generations.
Luckily, I've already forgotten it. I was really worried that I was going to have it surgically removed.
But yeah, that is good. It's so forgettable.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we focused quite a bit on the lyrics, and as English speakers, we're able quite quickly to assess lyrical content and decide, you know, this is so formulaic and bland. Doesn't say anything. It's not interesting. It's just words. Whereas I don't think many of us have the musical literacy to be able to say, actually, this music is bland and insipid and uninteresting. Because I don't know about you guys, but we're certainly not taught very much kind of musical theory in the same way that, you know, we're not taught the grammar of language, but we speak it and we can very easily figure out what's good and what's not. We're not really taught in the same way about music, so I think it becomes more difficult, certainly for me, to assess, you know, the merits of music, because we don't have the vocabulary, we don't have the training, we just know, oh yeah, I quite like that, or oh no, I don't like that. There's not really outside of very specialized expertise, we don't have the kind of language of musical criticism.
And you and I were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, but the difference with music is, so like, we can assess the lyrics and their shit, but musically, like when it comes to ChatGPT or the image generators, we can assess how accurate they are. But for music, that's not a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Music is just, does it sound good and do you like it?
Yeah.
And you don't have to understand music theory to appreciate music. And I think that's one of the things about these music generators is it sounds good. Like I'm a bit of an amateur musician. I wrote and recorded our regular theme music for this podcast. I'm not a great sound engineer, but I can play instruments. I know some intermediate music theory. The musical structure that of these songs that AI is generating is like fine, right? It's formulaic most of the time, but most pop music is, and formulaic music is successful, right? Mm-hmm. So in terms of how it might innovate in the future, I guess that remains to be seen. But, you know, most really successful pop music is kind of created by a committee anyway. It's sort of designed to be formulaic, to be successful. And so that's the problem with this AI generated music is it sounds great. And if you like it, you like it. And I'm sure a lot of us have already had this experience of hearing a song being like, wow, I like this song. And then finding out it's AI generated, right? Like, I'm always looking for sort of beat heavy, but instrumental music on YouTube to like have in my ears while I'm working, right? And I found this great series on YouTube of like this cool jazzy electronic stuff. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, this is AI generated. But like, I liked it. It was really good, right? And so this is where we get into some gray area of it seems great, right? It's like, it's fine. And it bothers me and it bothers most people that it's not made by a human. But it hits the way I need human generated music to hit. And like, I think that the cat's out of the bag now. This is just the way music is working from now on, which is really disappointing to me because I like playing music. I've got about 20 different musical instruments in my house here, and I play two of them pretty regularly. But, you know, I love playing music. I love making music with people. I don't want to spend a lot of time AI generating music because that sounds boring, but the music sounds fine. it's better than a lot of music that humans have written. So I, you know, and maybe that's a great place to segue into our last example here. Now, one of the things I forgot to delete from here was a 3D model of a Neanderthal skull. Did you know? Did you click on that one, by the way?
I did.
I couldn't get it to load.
I didn't realize that there is at least one service where you can generate 3D models from either a text prompt or an image prompt. And there were a bunch of Neanderthals there, and they all look like fantasy dwarves or ogres or something. But one of them stood out, and that was a Neanderthal skull, which looked pretty good, mm-hmm. Apart from the fact that its molar teeth were all fucked up.
There are freely available actual 3D scans of Neanderthal crania on the internet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the one hand, just download, go to Sketchfab. You can download a 3D scan of a Neanderthal skull for free. But on the other hand, I think the reason why Neanderthal faces look so bad when they're AI generated is because that's what most of the images look like. But when it comes to a skull, there's nobody generating bad stereotypical Neanderthal skulls, so that skull is going to be trained on real images skulls. Of Neanderthal skulls, and that's why that skull looks so much better than all the other AI-generated Neanderthal stuff, is because it depends what it's trained on, and that's something that's really important. So we've got two aspects here. What is the AI trained on? That's going to determine how good it is, but also how good are your prompts? And so I think that's going to bring us to our last topic here, which is a full 10-minute documentary. And this is also something we haven't talked about yet, is how fast this technology is evolving, because we haven't looked at the dates when all these things were produced. But AI is changing very, very fast. The problem of the six fingers and the weird teeth, that's mostly solved by now. AI doesn't really do that anymore. And this documentary was posted as we are recording this about a week ago. So this is brand new stuff. This is a documentary on YouTube called Lords of the Ice Age: AI Brings Neanderthals to Life. Now, this is 10 minutes long. It's a lot of AI generated clips, because AI can still only generate about 10 seconds at a time, which is one of the major limitations, right? But it is a documentary. It's pretty cohesive. And it has a narrator all the way through. Now, I don't know if the narrator's script is AI generated or if that's written by a person. But I don't know about you guys. I was super impressed by both the depictions of the Neanderthals in this and the information. The information is accurate, as accurate as you could hope for a YouTube video about Neanderthals, right? If not more accurate. And so I'm interested to see what you think about this one, because we can laugh at how shit the AI is up to this point. But I think that for me, this is a great example of, if you want to use AI well, using the modern, you know, the best updated versions of these AI video generators, it's really, really moving fast and getting pretty close. Now, there's obviously some major accuracy errors in this video, but I think for the most part, the content is pretty solid. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
Well, I couldn't get it to load either, so I'm not sure.
Oh, no, Ross, I really wanted to see, because I know you're really skeptical of AI.
Yeah, so that's part of the thing. I mean, how you say it's moving very fast, but it's also, I mean, how stable is it? I don't know whether... So I think when I tried to click on it, it just brought me back to the YouTube homepage. Maybe the link had broken. Anyway, that doesn't stop me from having thoughts. I think we're in a kind of very dangerous time for this, because as it gets better and better, people are going to trust it more and more, but without having the kind of critical faculty to be able to say, well, it's wrong for this reason or that reason. And so we're going to end up in a state where, you know, saying, well, I asked ChatGPT and it said, will become an acceptable answer. Whereas at the moment, it gets you a slap, you know.
Yeah.
We're in the dangerous territory where, you know, sometimes it can be fairly accurate. And that kind of might bias our response to it and think, you know, overstate how useful it can be. And so I really, you know, I never, if I have any options at all, I never use AI for anything. Like, even I always skip past it when, without my kind of permission, it always does an AI overview of any kind of Google search that I do. Skip straight past it.
This is one, a really important distinction, Ross, is when we're using these text generators, they generate text that sounds good, but they don't have knowledge about the content, right? Yeah. So if you're using these text generators, you should be using them for creating text that sounds good. Like I would say, like, if you want to write an email to your boss to say you quit, use ChatGPT for that because it's going to sound good. But people use ChatGPT, and ChatGPT advertises itself as asking questions to get answers. And that's absolutely not what this technology is designed to do. It's not designed to know stuff. It's just designed to be like a good predictive text, right?
Yeah. And I think that's what the AI propagandists have really succeeded in, is like selling it as an artificial intelligence, where it's actually what it is. It's like you say, it's just a very good predictive text messaging system. So sure, yeah, use it to write a letter or to draft an email, something where it doesn't matter really how it's done. It just has to be done.
Yeah.
But for writing, for comprehension of topics, it's absolutely not what it should be used for. And so that's why I really hate the kind of douche bro propagandists who are like, I wrote a book using AI and you should all read it. It's like, no,
you
didn't write a book. you just regurgitated some nonsense and you didn't put any effort into writing it. So why should I put any effort into reading it?
Yeah.
Well, Ross, I want to summarize this video for you because yes. I'm very impressed by it. So first of all, because it's very new, it's using the most modern versions of whatever image generator it's using. They don't have problems with the number of fingers. The characters look consistent enough shot to shot that you can tell who's who.
Okay.
So it follows a family of Neanderthals. There's three men, a woman, two children, and a baby. And it's narrated all the way through, and the information is almost perfect. In fact, I actually learned things that either I didn't know or I forgot from this video. Hold on one second. Someone's at my doorbell and I think it's my parents. I'll be right back.
My doorbell has just gone as well. Is it the same doorbell?
I'm glad my doorbell has not gone because the animals would go nuts. So, as someone who teaches students of English as a second language, and, you know, for papers and grant fellowships and stuff, usually they have to write things in English. I've had issues where students are writing in English and then it's coming back flagged as AI or plagiarized or something. And then when I sit down and talk to students, because I know them and I know that they wouldn't do that, it turns out that what they're doing is they're writing it. And then they're putting it into ChatGPT or whatever and saying, fix my grammar. And so ChatGPT is fixing the grammar, but it's doing that based on similar sentences. So it's going out and grabbing it from other written sources already. So it's increasing the plagiarizing, like turn it in number. So what I've told my students to do is instead of the prompt of like, fix my grammar, but to use it to say like, show me where the errors are and how to fix them. So it gives instructions and then they can learn instead of, you know, copying and pasting.
Okay, Ross, I know we got to get going soon. So I want to summarize this video for you here. We have a Neanderthal family, right? We have really good stuff. The faces of these Neanderthals look great. They don't have chins. I mean, the men all have beards, so it's hard to tell. But the woman has a very Neanderthal looking face, these sort of inflated cheekbones. They look great to me, you know, as good as the best movies we've watched with Neanderthal makeup. The narration, which I assume is scripted, draws from real scientific research. So actually, one of the first things we have is they're wearing tailored clothes, which is maybe a stretch for Neanderthals. We're not sure, but fur on the inside. That's one of our big bingo tropes. The fur is on the inside. Okay. We follow this family through four seasons. They're nomadic. They're following the herds. They're hunting horses. The horses sort of change breed shot to shot. They start off as very sort of domesticated Arabian horses, and they later look more like Pleistocene horses. But We have the silliness of the high-pitched Neanderthal voice, which I think is silly. That comes from that BBC video. But, you know, it's a real theory, so I'll give them that, right? We have them boiling water with stones, which I wasn't aware of, but apparently there was a paper from a site in Spain where they have this sort of pit in the cave where it looks like they might have been using it to boil water. We have them distilling birch tar from birch bark, which, again, is a real Neanderthal study. We have, of course, the use of talons and feathers, which are studies we've talked about all the time. We have them talking about how they used ambush hunting instead of persistence hunting, which, as they say, like our own ancestors did. And so, again, we don't really know for sure, but there is a theory that Homo erectus was starting to use persistence hunting, which is where you just sort of track the animal until it collapses from exhaustion. And then one thing I hadn't heard of yet was a stone with a Neanderthal fingerprint in ochre. Had you heard of this? It was apparently published in 2025, and I somehow missed it. And the stone in the video is AI generated, but it looks exactly like the real life stone.
Because there's only one.
But I mean, like it's AI generated from that prompt, right? Mm. So it's everything looks so good and the information is good. And so we have this problem of AI, of course, is that you can't trust things that are AI generated. But the reason you can't trust it is you can't trust the person who's producing it. It's not that AI can't be used to make videos that are look good and are educational if the person creating it cares and is putting the effort in to do it. And now there are some major errors in this as well, which are mostly in the background. So they're wearing tailored clothes. I don't know if we know for sure if Neanderthals did that. They're carrying baskets. I don't know if we have any evidence of that. One problem is that they have pottery in a few shots. Neanderthals definitely didn't have pottery. They have woven fabrics. They have beads, which, you know, they wore feathers and talons, but we don't have great evidence of, like, these are very finely crafted beads. There's just weird things like piles of cut wood that's cut with a saw beside their fireplace. And every time we're in a field, we have vehicle tracks with like two tire tracks, right? Which is, that's just background stuff, right? Yeah. Not really that important. So we have these inaccuracies permeating the background, but overall I was super impressed with this video and I hope that you can find it and watch it. And so I think the problem is AI is going to become integrated with our, you know, everything in the future. You know, Hollywood's going to start using it. YouTube creators are already using it. And we can see it's obviously used for this really low effort content. But I think the idea that it's just blanket bad and we can't use it is a mistake, because this video shows me we really can use it. And, you know, for creators like us who have no budget, who don't really have any training, like, you know, I don't have sound engineering training, but we started a podcast anyway, right? We can, you know, we want to make more YouTube videos, but I don't have the training or expertise or the time or the budget to get actors and get costumes, right? And so I think this shows us that if you want to be an educator, there is going to be potential, and it's getting better faster and faster, right? And I, you know, AI is kind of a bit of a moral panic today in the way a lot of technologies were in the past. When we were kids, do you remember when spell check was new in word processors? I remember being a kid because we had computers right from when I was very young. And teachers were worried that if you're using spell check, you're not going to know how to spell anymore, right?
Yeah.
And today, my students submit papers where there's a red squiggly line, and I'm like, why aren't you using the spell check? Like, what?
Yeah.
So these technologies are going to become integrated. I don't think it's a matter of AI is bad and we shouldn't use it. It's we got to learn how to use it environmentally responsibly. But I think much more importantly is we have to train young people. We have to teach young people how to recognize who is creating something and why are they creating it, and how can you determine whether you can trust something, right?
Mm-hmm. I'd agree broadly with that. I think it's you know, the Pandora's box has been opened and we can't sort of stuff it back in, but we do need to be very careful in limiting how it gets used, who uses it, and also in kind of teaching people to be very skeptical of it as well.
Mm-hmm. Critical thinking is something that's not being taught very well. My students are coming into classes these days. They have really no critical thinking skills. So that's really what the problem is. AI is bad in combination with this lack of critical thinking.
Yeah.
But I think critical thinking is the fundamental problem, and AI is making it harder to think critically. And so we have to sort of focus on teaching that better, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, lack of critical thinking has been
it's nothing new.
No, it's since the dawn of time, that's something that people have complained about in the upcoming generation.
Yeah, that's the real thing with the AI. I really don't want to sound like an old man who's scared of new technology. But if you enjoyed this episode, let us know. If you want us to review more AI stuff in the future, especially as the technology gets better and better, send us video suggestions or stuff like that. Send us an email, comment on YouTube, do whatever you want to get in touch with us. And if you like this, we'll try another episode like this in the future. If you have questions, comments, or movie requests, we want to hear from you. Find us on Blue Sky and Facebook at SOTSA Podcast. Send us an email to screensofthestoneage@gmail.com or visit our website at screensofthestoneage.com.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.
So grab your hand axe,
stoke the campfire,
and try not to feed the algorithm.
This is Screams.
I don't know how we're going to do this with our delay. Maybe we can do it each one at a time and try to have the same rhythm, and I'll layer them.
Okay.
I'll start. This is Screens of the Stone Age.
This is Screens of the Stone Age.
This is Screens of the Stone Age.
Okay, I think that should work.